singing the song that we sing here, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Y'all could have helped me on that. But that's the reason why I'm not up here in the praise team. Amen. So the title of the message tonight is going to be called Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. Amen. So without any further ado, I ask you to do me one thing. I hope you're not in a hurry. I've got 6 points that I really feel like that God wants me to get it across. But he also gave me a word. So here we go. At 3 o'clock in the morning, like I said, I woke up. And this was really on my mind, really on my heart. And I got up and I wrote that down, prepare you the way of the Lord. And because I didn't want to lose that train of thought. So I went back to bed and I woke Debbie up singing prepare the way of the Lord. And she was going, so she waved me off. So I laid there and tried to sleep. And this right here is a result of what the Lord gave me. I had to get back up. I never did go back to sleep. So this is it right here. This is the word of the Lord. This is from the notes that I wrote down. And he says this. This is our time. This is our time. Say that. This is our time. That's right. This is our time. We weren't born 50 years ago. Well, maybe some of us was. But, you know, we weren't born back in the 1800s. We weren't born in the 1700s. We're born for this time. For such a time as this. We're raised up here for this time. Amen. So that was one of the things he said to let us know. This is our time. This is our time. New generation, this is our time. We've been called. We have a purpose here. We have a mandate here. We have a mission here. So with each passing day, you are coming closer and closer to the return of the Lord. The catching away. The rapture of the church. This is a real event scheduled on my timeline. Catch that. Whether this event happens now or in the next 100 years, you, me, whoever's watching by the TV or internet, whatever, live stream, you must be ready because this is a live event. So whether it's now or whether it happens 100 years from now, you must be ready and prepare the way of the Lord. Christ is coming. Coming for us, His glorious bride, catch that, with lamps trimmed and burning, carrying extra oil. Pastor preached on that the other day. Now, why would you want to carry extra oil? In case He does tarry. Amen. In case there is a tarrying. Prepared. You must be prepared. Not for the escape, but for the celebration. Your race is not a 100-yard dash, but more like a marathon. So prepare to race to win. And prepare me a habitation with a winner's mentality. That I might show myself through. That's what I've prepared you for. This is the Lord talking to us. That's what He's prepared us for. To have a winner's mentality and to be His habitation here upon this earth. To show my glory. So prepare. Occupy till I come. That was the first part of the word He gave me. This is the second part. It says, the time for just a social gathering called church is over. I mean, that's how strong it come up in my spirit. It's over. The church, this area, time to get to it. Amen. The time to just pick and choose what days you're coming to church, what days you don't want to come to church. God says that's over. This is serious business. Amen. It's serious. We have this mandate. So I'm going to try to stay with my points so I don't belabor it, but yet there's things that I need to say so that we all get the understanding. All of us are one. We need to flow together as that habitation. So in preparing the preparing the way of the Lord, there's things that you must do. Number one, that word prepare means to make ready beforehand. The word says that he is coming. Amen. Whether it's now or 100 years from now. So before he comes, we must make ready this church. We must make ready this area. Amen. We have to get into a proper state of mind to work out details, planning in advance. You know, our mentality just can't be, well, I'm going to go to church on Sunday or I'm going to go to church on Wednesday and not want to come in and flow together and just let God be God. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? So the time for us to be a church is now. The time to play church, it's over with. Okay? A lot of times, you know, when you make ready for people, if you've got company coming over, I know a lot of you will spend time cleaning your house. Right? You'll make preparations. If you're going to go to a ball game, you'll make preparations. If you're going to go to any sporting event, you'll make preparations. If you're going to go on vacation, man, you've planned that vacation almost right down to the micro minutes, you know. But you plan for things. The planning stage for us is, I mean, it's that important here now. We've been here for 25 years. So what are we going to do in the next 25 years? This is a beautiful facility. This is something that God has done through the leadership of our pastors, Mike and Annette, but also with the help of every one of us. They've said it before, they couldn't do it without us, or we couldn't do it without their leadership. So here God is, he's going to lean on us again. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. You know, I'm just letting the words fall like God let them fall for me. We've got to come together. Okay, the first point that he made to me says we must prepare to live. Jesus is all about life. And you can go ahead and put up Psalms 118, verse 17. But Jesus is all about life. He's all about abundance of life. Amen. In John 10:10, he says, I come to give you that life. What kind of life is it? It's his life. It's Zoe. It's the life that keeps on giving. You know, he says that I come to give you life and that you may have life to the full. An abundance of life. In life, there is no death. So a lot of people, even in the Christian church, they prepare to die. As a matter of fact, it's been said that from the time that you're born into this world, you're preparing to die. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Death is an enemy. It is not a part of life. It's an enemy. Jesus has conquered it. Yeah, we'll probably face it, but actually we've already faced it in the new birth. You've done all the dying that you're going to do. You're going to give up this body, you know, this temple, but you're going to go on into the presence of the Lord. Amen. So in Psalms 118, verse 17, and this is what it highlighted, it says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That word declare means to demonstrate. Not just speak it out, but we need to demonstrate. Amen. For years now, I have, and I know it's been pastor's desire, but you know, it's coming to the place where, hey, if we want to see the miracles and the signs and the wonders, man, we're going to have to get it together. We're going to have to seek after God with all of our heart. Make him number one priority. Not your hobbies, not your job, not your family. Study to show yourself approved. Brother James said there, when we passed there earlier today, he said, if you don't put in first, you won't make it. And I said, you're preaching my message. And that's right. He should have the preeminence. Amen. This may not be long, and then again it might. But I just want to... I told the Lord, I said, I only want to say what you'd have me to say. I only want to do what you'd have me to do. And I asked the Lord, I should have prayed for this to begin with, but open up our eyes that we may know what is the hope of his calling, that we might know the power of his resurrection on the inside of us, and that what his inheritance is in us as saints of God. He's vested His life in us. Jesus, we were Jesus' passion after Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit, even before the foundation of the world, planned for mankind. And He didn't plan for the devil to have control over mankind. I mean, there's a lot to say in that, but I don't have the time to do it. But that's the reason why that Jesus came. He did not want mankind to be in the devil's presence in that family. He wanted us in His family. We sing a song. Heaven didn't want to be without us. Is that one of the lines in it? So He came down. You know, the Bible talks about heaven here upon this earth. Well, how are you going to get heaven here upon this earth? The church is going to bring heaven here upon this earth. Amen. I mean, there's all kinds of promises about that. So that was the first one. The second one is going to be prepare to shine. And then you can go ahead and go to Isaiah chapter 60. Can anybody say amen? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've meditated on this all day long. I keep singing that song, prepare the way of the Lord. How about you? Prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. He wants not just an entrance into our life, but He wants to be a part. He wants to be the number one thing in our life. The essence that life comes from is Him. And He wants to be in every aspect of our life, every decision that we make. Amen. So He says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That's something that we have to come to know, come to understand. You know, we're just not any old church out here. We're just not any old believer out here. We all have the same opportunity. We all have the same calling, the same family. We might be in different areas, and there might be different names over our church, but we have a mandate. We have something from God, and He wants to be right in the middle of it. And He needs somebody like us to take the gospel out and to demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a whole lot more I could get into there, talking about the wealth of the sinner, the wealth transfer, talking about the harvest. I mean, He's talking about some good times here. The third point is to prepare personally. You know, like I said before, when we prepare for things, we put a lot of emphasis on vacations. And there's nothing wrong with vacations. I'm not saying that. But one of the things that we don't prepare for a lot of times is we don't put the Word first place. And there it is again, Brother James. The Word of God has to be first place. It can't be Facebook. It can't be TikTok. It can't be Harlequin romances. And I guess that's old school. It can't be TV. what I'm saying is, I mean, it's just that important. The Word of God, the Bible says the Word is life. The Word is health. The Word. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. I mean, right on down the line. It was the light of men. That's what's lighting you on the inside of us, each one of us. That light, that glory, is in these earthen vessels. You know what that glory is? It's the resurrection power of God. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. We're containers for that Spirit, for that resurrection life. But the only thing that keeps us from moving out in that area is not our faith, but it's fear. Fear tries to hold you back, tries to say, well, you're just a human being. No, you're a new creation. You're a brand new being. The only thing that's natural about you is your body. Again, it's that mentality. You've got to know and understand that you're more than just mere men. And He tells us to raise up above that mere men mentality. The second part of this is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, if you want to put that up there. I'm going to turn to it. I think this is a very, very good one. Especially when it comes in the light of some of the grace teachings that we have heard about, not here. Are you ready? I'm getting there. Like I said, I don't want to be in a hurry because I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne the testimony of the truth," and that's what we're here doing, this is our time, bearing the testimony of the truth, "let us strip off, throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which would so easily beset us," is what the King James says. "The time for the little pet peeves or the little pet sins," just like the Word said, it's over. You got to get it. You got to get it under the blood. You got to put it down. You got to cast down every thought and every imagination. The little areas that you think that God don't know about or that pastor don't know about, well, God does know about them. But it's time for the church to come clean, because He sanctified us for His purpose, for His use. So you must come through a process here of entering in with the Holy Spirit in a time of fellowship in your own home, studying to show yourself approved, not just waiting until you get here at church or waiting to listen to a ministry that you like on TV. It's a personal thing. Just like your salvation when you got saved, it's very, very personal. And God is personal. He really wants to be a part of your life. And a lot of times we use Him as a spare tire. We put Him on the back burner until, uh-oh, I need you, Lord. Come up here. Get up here, front and center. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. When you prepare, you know, you prepare ahead of time for any problems or possibilities that the devil might bring up. Before, when Pastor told me about this, the devil really tried to keep me from ministering tonight. I'd never been attacked with the indigestion like I'd had before, and it wasn't Minerva's cooking either. She's probably back there shaking her finger at me. It wasn't that. I know exactly what it was. This word that God gave me, He did not want me to say it, because when the body of Christ, when we as a body of Christ come together in the place that we're supposed to be, we're going to do damage to His territory. And see, He thinks He owns the world. Right now, He thinks Him and the Antichrist are coming into this area. I mean, you're seeing signs of it. You're seeing signs of it. But there's a remnant. There's a resistance. And until the resistance is taken out of the way, the Antichrist can't come, won't come. I don't know about you, but I'm part of the resistance. I've been speaking against that. I've been saying access denied. Not this time. Not during my family's reign. Not during my son's reign. And not during my grandson's reign. We have a reason to stand up for this area. If it's nothing else than for our family and for future generations. And like the Word says, whether the Lord comes back in the next 5 years or the next 100 years, what's it matter if you're not prepared and if you're not ready? So that's the Word. I'm going to read the rest of it. I'll just go back to the King James. But He says, "Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every sin that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before us." Remember, He talked about running that race with a winner's mentality. And He also said that it's not a 100-yard dash. It's more like a marathon. So there's a different type of training that you do for a 100-yard dash than you do for a marathon. There is conditioning in that, physical conditioning. But when you're talking about the spiritual conditioning of a saint of God, you're talking about amping yourself up in and with them by the Word of the Lord. You're also talking about using the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues and not being afraid of what God has given us. I mean, the church is the most powerful entity in the earth today. But our mentality is, no, we're very weak. We can't do it. We're almost like the 10 spies. When Moses sent out the 12, 10 of them came back with an evil report. Yeah, they seen the good land. They seen the land that flows with milk and honey. They seen the giants. They even brought back fruit. But out of their mouth and with their actions, they did not agree with the word of God. But there was a Joshua and a Caleb, the two youngest leaders, stood up and said, "We are well able. Yes, what God has said is true. Let's go up and take it at once." So that's the mentality that God's talking about. That's the mentality that we've got to have. So it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for us to prepare. Prepare as individuals. Prepare to shine. So now here we come with the prepare the congregation, or prepare congregationally. In Exodus 15:2, let's turn there real quick. Come on. I don't mark mine like Pastor does. I don't want to tear my pages up. Well, I'll just read it up there. That's Pastor. The Lord, L-O-R-D, is capitalized. That is Yahweh. That is in the God's system of government. Is called harvest. The Lord of the harvest. Seed time and harvest. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. That word salvation is total and complete redemption. Total and complete healing. Total and complete deliverance. Total and complete prosperity. Total and complete being victorious. He is my God. Say that. The Lord is my God. And I will prepare Him. And I will prepare Him. And habitation. My Father's God. And I will exalt Him. You know the difference between a habitation and just a regular home or a regular place? In your habitation is a place where you dwell. I mean, you kick back, you do whatever you want to do. The best way I can put it is, you know, in your home is a habitation, but you visit the jail. There ain't nobody want to go to jail. It's worse than a night in jail. So we are a habitation. The Bible talks about in Ephesians, talking about till we all come together in the unity of the faith. He talks about the fivefold ministry, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, coming together to teach and to edify the church until we all come into the fullness of the stature, or the stature of the fullness. I've got it backwards, but anyhow, until we all come to the fullness of Christ. So it's a dwelling place. It's not a jail. It's not a place that you just want to come and visit on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. Even though that this is the building and we're the temple, I don't know about you, but I pray that this whole place right here, not just the temple, but is so permeated with the presence of God that there's angels that show up in our services that help us with the Word of God. Amen. To do that, we've got to become one and flow together. Amen. Now, here's another thing. Pastor, this is for you all. It says, it's the pastor's job for vision. Congregation, this is our job. And it's the congregation's job to hook up. Yeah. We flow. From whatever comes to them, comes to us. So we need to flow together. Yeah. When they release the vision, we need to grab hold of it and go. It's not a time to retire, but it's a time to refire us. That's what the Lord's trying to do, is refire every one of us. Get it in this mentality, you know, that we got a work to do. We got an area here that needs Jesus. We got people that need to be born again, need to be delivered. We have that resurrection power on the inside of us. And we also have the anointing of God that says that we know all things, so you're a know-it-all. We know all things because we have the unction of the Holy Spirit. The Word says that. I didn't make that up. It says that we know all things. Amen. So that's the reason why that you've got to put aside every sin and every weight. Anything, any encumbrance that would hold you back. Brother James Lee was talking about how he's getting ready to kind of release his time, get it freed up. You know, a lot of times time is a very important commodity. And that's what the devil wants to do, is get you so tied up and twisted up in his time and the things that he wants to do that you don't have time for God or family or anything else. So value your time. Amen. The fifth point, next to the last one, is prepare your children. Proverbs 22:6. You can put that up there. There is it's an occult move. A cult is behind it. And there's people in high offices, not only in each nation, but all the way down to our local state government, schools, and churches. They are fighting for your children. It comes under the thing called woke, which God says we need to be awakened. We're everything, and it's not. That's not what the Bible says. Our standard is what the Word of God says. And any time that you stand on the Word of God, you're standing on solid ground. People may not like it. And I've always said this, that, you know, your first line of defense in the family is the mommy and daddy. Not daddy and daddy, not mommy and mommy, but mommy and daddy, the way that God set it up. You're the one that's supposed to teach and to train your children and to impart into them that even though they come out and go out into a world that's secular, that teaches against the Word, you make sure that you show and demonstrate and teach them what is truth. Amen. The second line of defense is when we come into the church. A church is made up of strong families. So we are a family of God together for the Spirit of the Lord to dwell in. And then the third line of defense is you teachers. You have a very important job. I know the NEA throws stuff at you, but if it don't line up with this Word, you're going to have to find the courage to stand. Amen. We already know how the government likes to respond to things. We found that out with the jab and the vaccines and everything else and shutting down the church and saying it was not essential. Wrong. We are more essential now than we ever have been. So it's very important that you know who you are, your identity. It's very important that you're aware of what the woke crowd is doing, what the Antichrist crowd is doing, and how they're trying to stamp out. The only church that they're against is Christianity. They're not against Judaism. They're not against Catholicism. They're not against Hindu. They're not against Muslim. It's Christians. They don't want Christians to rise up in that mentality to know who they are, because if and when we do, and I believe we will, I believe that we are, I believe that we're going to come together and flow together, not just this church, but the entire body of Christ. And we're going to experience some things that we've never even probably thought was imaginable. Things that God has wanted to do for a long, long time. I've been in it for a while. And I don't know, before we come along, I don't know who had the opportunity to bring a Christian atmosphere, to bring a Christ, anointed Christ into the area. But I've come through five pastors. It's our time. It's our time to shine. We've got to come together and get it done. So prepare your children. It says, train up your child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know, you've got a lot of singers. You've got a lot of entertainers out there that have, they call themselves Christians, that they're a special kind of Christian, but not like the old-fashioned Christians. That's country music. That's rock and roll. That's all of them. And your kids need to be aware of the messages that they're putting in those songs. Amen. And I know you think, well, he's meddling now. No, I'm telling you what the Spirit of the Lord has put on my heart to tell you. And they need to be aware of this. Your electronic devices that they get into, There are secret things back in those images that they're seeing, and you know, you need to make your kids aware of this. It's demonic. It's devilish. They're not only that, but they're time stealers. We were talking, James Lee and Nathan and I was talking about, said, you know, even just on regular Facebook, just kindly flipping through, you know, just looking at everybody's posts. Next thing you know, you spend an hour, 2 hours, and just flipping through Facebook. So how did that build you up? We got to find time. No, not find it. We got to make time. That's what we got to do. So you prepare your children. The emphasis should be on the spiritual. Education, athletics, musical talents should take the back seat, not the front seat. There you go again, Brother James, putting God first. Preeminence, making Him the preeminence. Man, everybody's shouting good, ain't they? Part B of this is 1 Timothy 4, 12b. Put 1 Timothy chapter 4 up there, please. You mean I have to go to my Bible? No, there it is. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12, verse 12. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. That's not only your speech, that's your lifestyle. In charity or in love. You know, one of the things that Debbie and I have been, I'd say not only Debbie, but everybody else has been too, the devil's tried to bring a lot of dissension in married couples. And we have to watch our mouth and we have to watch our actions. Charity and love really to me starts at home. And you know, we've said that before. But it also an example in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Man, there's some things in there. You know, the parents, you need to be an example to your kids. You need to show them by your lifestyle. By your words, you know. Getting aggravated and upset, they don't accomplish anything. And to sit there and try to get the last word in, don't accomplish anything. Ask Debbie. No, ask me. We were taught a long time ago by Kenneth Copeland and some different ministries that when it comes to walking in love, when it comes to a husband and wife relationship, instead of having those moments of intense fellowships where there's a little bit of a disagreement, and that could be right here in the church too, among us, he says that somebody has got to be the grown up or be mature enough to where when that word is said that you don't take offense. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is, that love chapter. Does not take offense when something is done wrong. That's just one of them. So it's something that every family has to work on. Every married couple, you have to work on this. And I believe that when we walk in love, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. When we walk in love, there's nothing that can hold us back or keep us back. When we have enough love and respect for each other that we don't bite and devour one another, you know, this come out here recently. There was a meeting up in Prestonburg, and they were saying false prophets, false this and false that, and you know, a lot of those churches didn't even believe in prophets. But here's the problem: the Antichrist bunch that we've been talking about, they got their stuff together. They believe the Word of God. They believe the prophets. They believe the prophecies, but they've turned it around to their side, to the negative side. The body of Christ, they're too busy biting and chewing on one another. One minister said the believer will take out his sword of the Spirit, and said the next thing you know, he's head over there going, just chewing on his arm, said, you can't fight like that. And then he said, your leg, one of your legs is kicking you in the butt. You know, you can't move. You can't walk. You can't move forward. So we have to watch those areas and not bite and devour one another. The last point, somebody say hallelujah. Prepare to occupy. If you want to turn to Luke 19, verse 13. Like I said, there was a whole lot that I could really say and get into, but for sake of time, and see, I think that's another thing too. Time, it is a valuable commodity. It's a valuable thing that we need. I think we need to come into church with nothing as far as time goes, try to push it forward. I think we need to kind of just wait on the Lord. So, Pastor, this is not a rebuke, so I hope you're not taking it that way. But we sometimes come to church with the attitude, man, I hope he gets us out of here before 12 o'clock so that we can be the first ones at McDonald's. Or I hope he gets us out of here before 3 o'clock because the race is coming on. You know, time. I mean, it's just when you prepare as a habitation, you know, the Spirit of the Lord may be wanting to move in somebody's life. And sometimes we get in such a hurry, we press it out. We get it out of the way. We get it out of rhythm, out of sync. Amen. My last point, and he called his 10 servants. This is talking about a certain nobleman who had 10 servants. And he said, he delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. When you occupy something, you literally move in and take it over with. There's another translation that says, do business for my kingdom. And it says that he come in, and that first verse says he come to seek a kingdom. That's what God's doing. That's what Jesus is doing. The kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God, so we must occupy. We must start doing business for the kingdom and have that kingdom mentality. And realize it's just not Sunday and Wednesday, spending time, wasting time. Might be your family that comes through those doors that needs to be delivered from drugs. Might be a demoniac come through those doors screaming. You know, the world, I truly believe that there are people in the world, right here in this area, that's waiting for a church to show signs, wonders, and miracles because they're hurting. And the only thing that they've seen out of the church so far is bickering, fighting, quarreling, you know, something the religious, something that's they don't want any part of. I, for one, want to show Jesus alive after his passion, to be an example of a believer. To, if I walk up on a situation or someone comes to me or someone comes here, in this group of people, we have that anointing and the Spirit of the Lord. The gifts of the Spirit operate as the Holy Spirit wills. So there shouldn't be anything that we would be afraid of, you know. We don't have to learn to trust each other, lean on each other. Like I said, in 25 years, we've accomplished a whole lot. What about the next 25 years? We need to accomplish a whole lot more. So I'm ready for that. How about you? Amen. Well, praise God, Pastor. Short, sweet, and almost to the point. Just a few areas there. I'm done. But let's prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord.